I want to go in your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to dismiss the kids now, right? So, Miss Vicky, throw your hand up there, and let's give the kids a hand clap to go bless the Lord, to minister to the Lord, and to minister to one another. Kids are dismissed. Well, I've just come from, I was in Dallas this weekend with Apostle Clay and with Apostle Dutch and Apostle Chuck Pierce, Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce, and it was an incredible weekend with Josiah Company Conference and lots of regional and national leaders there that were gathered to just speak, and it was phenomenal. There's really significant, important messages that are in that those teachings, and you can find those at claynash.org. I think you can buy them. So I want to encourage you to do that. So also, I feel really stirred in the last week, probably 2 weeks, out of Jeremiah chapter 1, because Jeremiah is a prophet during the reign of Josiah. And as God is raising up a Josiah company, a kingly order to speak into the earth and to bring heaven in the order of heaven and the kingdom of God into a place, he's also raising up young Jeremiahs. And so the message this morning, I really want to speak to the younger generation. It's for all of us. It's really a timely message. It's for all of us. But I want to speak to the younger generation, because actually even Josiah at 8 years old received the call of God as a king on his life. So he was a young king. And if we're going to do this and run as prophets and kings and priests, as young as a generation, we need to include the younger generation with the wisdom of the older generation and run together. Yes? So open with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I want to read. Every verse is packed full. I'm going to read the first 10 verses with you. Every verse is packed full of revelation, of context that is just so rich. So let me just say a blessing and say a prayer. We've had such a rich time already this morning in worship. Can we thank our worship team? Yeah. Our bunch of 20-somethings and young folks. It's amazing to see them rise up. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for the time to gather. We thank you for equipping us, for training us, for teaching us, for showing us, and empowering us with your word, your truth, and the power of your presence to go, therefore, and bring the gospel to establish the kingdom and be the ecclesia in the earth that you have called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. So right there in Jeremiah chapter 1, I want to start. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin." That's verse 1. I can't even get past it because it's so good already. I don't know if it's good to you. Maybe I'm just nerding out. But it says that Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests, everyone say priest, the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. So Jeremiah is a what? He's a priest. And he's from Benjamin. And that's interesting because, have you guys heard of the 10 lost tribes of Israel? Well, there's two in the south, Judah and Benjamin, that were not lost. And the promise was with Judah, not with Israel. And so what's interesting about Benjamin and Judah is that the 10 tribes that went into captivity with the Assyrians initially did not return back to their land, but Benjamin and Judah did. So here we have like we have already glimmers, prophetic or foreshadowing of an everlasting tribe, an everlasting covenant, and we have someone who is a priest in the house of God. And why is it important that he's a priest? Because in the new covenant, Jesus says that we are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. So generation is really important too, because we find out in the coming verses that Jeremiah is young. So let's go to verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Yes, Judah, that's important too. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. And when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So there's a little historical context. The Bible is not a history book, but it ties things historically together. So Jeremiah is a priest. He's young. We're going to find that out soon. And he's reigning under Josiah, or he's a prophet under Josiah's reign. And Josiah was a good king or a bad king? He was a good king. So now we have a priest, and Jeremiah is about to be a prophet because he's about to receive the prophetic call of the Lord. And he's reigning under a good king, yeah? So those are important things to note. So the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, and the Lord said this, which I just read for our baby dedication. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Wow. That statement alone can just, is so packed. Before I formed you, I knew you. God knew you and had a call on your life before you were in the womb. This is why we need to protect the wombs of mothers in our nation. Because God has a call already on children that haven't even been formed in the womb. On mothers and fathers before they're even in the womb. I say mothers and fathers because everything changes with parenting when you realize you're not just raising boys and girls, but you're raising mothers and fathers. And God has a prophetic plan for that child to be a prophet to the nations. And so this is what the Lord says to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So now God is already, this is interesting because this is the call of God on Jeremiah's life to be a prophet. But God already, before he formed Jeremiah in the womb, appointed him to be a prophet. Isn't that good? Yes. Let's move on. What's Jeremiah's response? Here I am, send me. Not exactly. He says, alas, sovereign Lord. It's like kind of like when your kids come up and they're like, wonderful, wonderful daddy. And you're like, what did you do? I have students that come into my office, they're like, hey, professor, pastor, apostle, bishop, cos. I'm like, what do you want? What did you do? That's what's happening right here. He's like, alas, sovereign Lord. And then he says, I do not know how to speak, and I am too young. And then the Lord responds to Jeremiah and says, do not say, I am too young. God rebukes him. He says, you must go everywhere I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I'll just finish it out. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my what? Mouth. And said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over families, neighborhoods, cities. No, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And I just have to say right here, because I don't want to forget saying this, but this is just coming to me as I'm reading this. As God appoints a prophet who is also a priest, he appoints him over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down and destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was not a king to uproot nations with armies. He was not a judge to rule over a land. He was a prophet that was called to nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down. Because God knows that the strongest thing in the earth is words. It's not an army. It's not fire and water. It's not wind. It's words. And if God can raise up a prophet, then he can uproot a nation, or he can establish a nation because of the prophets. Yes? So notice he doesn't call a king, he calls a prophet. Because God doesn't need you to be strong, he needs you to speak. He doesn't need you to have position, he needs you to have a yes to the word of the Lord over your life. Yeah? So he's first a priest, and God already appointed him a prophet. God calls him a prophet. And I want to tell you this, that he's first a priest, and then God calls him a prophet. And I want to tell you, well, maybe point number one here, it's not, what. Let's first define what a priest is. A priest ministers to God and ministers to people. Yes? And that's the call of God on our life, to be a royal priesthood. That means that as priests, you minister to God and you minister to people. This is the call of God on a generation, that you administer to God, minister to people. But it's not enough that you be a priest. God says to a priest, I call you to be a prophet. Because God wants to fill your mouth with his words, to speak forth so that you can uproot nations and kingdoms by the power of your intercessory prayer and your prophetic promise. Yeah? So be careful that we don't just be priests, but that we learn how to be priests and prophets. And the Davidic worship of David is that he was a priest, a prophet, and a king. Yeah? And so the Davidic worshiper is a priest, a prophet, and a king. And it's interesting that the call of the prophet on Jeremiah is that his job as a prophet was to uproot nations and kingdoms and to establish nation and kingdom. That's good. That sounds like a kingly anointing on a prophet who's also a priest. Are you guys following along with me? So the call is not just to him and his city or his tribe, but to nations, to uproot and to tear down. There is a moment here where God says, so Jeremiah, God says, before I knew you, before you were in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. And then you have the hesitancy, the doubt, the fear of Jeremiah. And he says, alas, Lord, oh great God, I cannot speak, and I'm too young. Gives God two excuses. Can't speak, he's too young. Moses maybe gave God one excuse over and over and over. Does it remind you of another prophet, Moses? God calls him out of the burning bush and says, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, oh, I'm slow to speech. God doesn't ask you, he calls you. That's a point for today. I don't have numbered points, but just write them down, whatever. God didn't ask you, he called you. Which also means it might be that God's not really inviting you into this, but he's saying, go into this. And we have our excuses. We have our doubts, we have our reasons, we have our logic, and we get out, we figure out ways to get out of the call of God in our life. Why is that? Why do we do that? God has a call on a Jeremiah generation to speak the words of the Lord. And we doubt it. And we reason it. And we try to get out of it. Moses does the same thing. But here's what God does. He touches his mouth. Then the Lord reached out his hand After he rebuked him, the Lord said, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go wherever I send you and say whatever I command you." Let's actually hit this real quick. You must go wherever I send you and say. So everyone say go. And everyone say say. This is really interesting too, because what I'm seeing in Jeremiah is a type and shadow of Christ. He's a priest. He's a prophet under a good king. You following me? And God says to Jeremiah, you will go wherever I send you and you will say whatever I put in your mouth. You'll say the words I give to you. And I am now, what my mind does, maybe my nerdy or scholarly mind goes to Jesus, where Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. So this is like a type and shadow of Jesus. And if Jeremiah is a type and shadow of Jesus, then Jeremiah is a type and shadow of you. If we're supposed to be, if we, Jesus, took the propitiation, was the propitiation for our sins, trades places with us, dies the death that we deserve so we could live the life that he lived in communion with God, we take Jesus's place and he goes to the grave. Of course, he conquers it, but we get to be seated in heavenly places, and now God sees us as he saw his son. So if you see a type and shadow of Jesus in the Old Testament, then you see a type and shadow of who you are to be. So Jeremiah is not good at talking, and he's too young. He makes up these excuses, and God says, stop with the excuses. I didn't ask you, I called you. You will go wherever I send you, and you will say whatever I tell you. So here's the type and shadow of Jesus, even further. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father speaking. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm going to go on. God says, I lost my place. I'm too young. The Lord said, don't say you're too young. You'll go wherever I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I'll be with you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Why does God touch his mouth? Does God touch anyone else's mouth? What's happening in your brain when you think of God touching someone's mouth? I think of Isaiah chapter 6, where the angel takes a piece of coal and touches his lips. And Isaiah says, my lips are cleansed. I'm a man of unclean lips, right? That's what he says. And then the angel touches his lips and cleanses his lips, because if you're going to be a prophet of God, God needs your lips to say what God is saying. Yes? And so I initially had this imagery, and I actually shared this at the college a few days ago. I had this imagery that, like, God reached out. Levi, come up here with me. I need to use you as an example. I kind of have this image that God would, like, reach out and touch his mouth, right? Because that's when you read it, you're like, okay, God touches his mouth. And what I literally this morning, I was thinking, Lord, what was it like when you touched his mouth? Or the angel that, you know, we think of the coal, the hot coal of heaven, touches Isaiah's lips. And listen, this is the imagery that I got this morning as I'm asking the Lord, what was that like? This is the imagery I got. So we have in our culture this sort of like Renaissance romantic view of like God touching us. You know, have you ever seen that, the painting of like, what is it, Adam and God doing this? Do that with me. Can like point your finger out like this. You guys remember this? It's like, I touch God, right? And so we have like this Renaissance, like romantic kind of like era view of like God's activity or the way God touches us. But this, have you all ever seen this? When your mama does this and she's like, excuse me. That's the imagery I got when God touched his mouth. Almost like, because God's already rebuking him, right? God's already, someone get the camera on this right here. Bella, get the camera on here. God's grabbing him and going, you will go where I send you, and you will say what I say, the words that I put in your mouth to say. Now, then I thought of Isaiah and how the angel takes the coal and touches it to Isaiah's lips. And I just got the same imagery of the angel taking, looking at the fire of heaven, the coals of heaven, and grabbing a scoop out and going, hey, your mouth is cleansed. Speak the word of the Lord. So anyway, everyone give Levi a hand. But that's the imagery that I got, where God grabs the mouth of the prophet to be and says, you will go where I send you and you will say what I command you. And even with Isaiah, I got that same imagery where the angel scoops up coals and we think, oh, he cleansed my lips right before my eyes, you know? It's like, whop! Speak the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Why do our mouths need to be cleansed? To speak the word of the Lord. Guys, there's something so significant about your tongue. James says that there is the power of life and death in the tongue. And I've been saying this for the last couple weeks. The strongest force in the earth is words. Because by the very breath of God, everything comes into existence. Power, not in tools and resources and articles, but in breath, in words. This is why God cleanses the lips of the prophet Isaiah. This is why God grabs the mouth of Jeremiah, touches his mouth, so that he speaks the very words of God. And this is why we need a call to repentance about our words and about our lips, so that our lips can speak what God speaks, and we can be a prophetic generation that hears God and speaks what he says. Are you with me? Now I'm reminded again, because every time I'm reading scripture, I'm also like, it's like the Rolodex of my mind is going back to another scripture, or going back to what Jesus said, or comparing something like Isaiah's lips being cleansed, like Jeremiah's mouth being touched, and then I fast forward to Acts chapter 2, where now there are tongues of fire over people, over their heads, right? And they speak in other tongues, and people understand them. And what are they speaking? They're obviously prophesying. Because Paul says, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in a tongue, no one understands you. You're praying to God. But it'd be better in a gathered worship environment, because Paul's talking about their worship gatherings and their corporate gatherings. He's saying it'd be better if you prophesied, because when you prophesy, you speak to people. So if we can imagine in Acts chapter 2 that they're speaking in tongues, but really they're speaking in the languages of all the people that are there, and other people are understanding them, which means they're prophesying. And people from all different tribes and tongues and ethnicities are understanding them and hearing the message of the Lord, because it was tongues of fire that were over them. Are you guys following me? So that tells me that instead of the fire of God being on you to cleanse you, it's now over you for you to prophesy and speak. This is the Acts chapter 2 Pentecost. Why were all the ethnicities and nations in Jerusalem? Because they were celebrating first fruits. That's what Pentecost is. It was first fruits, the Feast of First Fruits. And that's why there were so many different languages and tribes and tongues gathered in Acts chapter 2, because all the Jews from far off came together in Jerusalem for the Feast of First Fruits. And God takes the Feast of First Fruits and makes it Pentecost, Because if you look all the way back in the book of Exodus, you see that the giving of the law is the first fruits. It's like when God gives the law, it's 50 days after Passover. So the Passover happens. I've done a message on this, so most of you are with me, right? I've done it a few months ago. I think I did it around Passover earlier this year. So Passover happens. They leave Egypt. 50 days later, God gives them the law from Mount Sinai, right? Now, in the new covenant, the Passover, that Jesus, the Passover lamb, 50 days later is what? Pentecost, which is the giving of the law in the old covenant, which is first fruits. So all the nations are gathered there to give their first fruits and to celebrate the giving of the law. In the old covenant, Passover happens 50 days later. God gives the law. In the new covenant, the last Passover happens, the Last Supper. 50 days later, God gives not the law, but the Spirit. So now the tongues of fire are on the heads, or they're over everybody, not just touching to cleanse, but abiding in us to cleanse our mouths so that we can speak the words of God. And then Paul also tells us in the New Testament that when you pray in the Spirit, you're uttering mysteries to God. I mentioned it earlier this morning. But also, the Spirit is praying through you. So you have a gift of praying in the Spirit, or praying in tongues, or speaking in tongues, that is the power of God in you always, not just once to cleanse, but always to cleanse you and to make you a prophet. And I believe, you know, I've maybe gone a long ways to say only a handful of things, but I want to tell you that God didn't ask you, he called you, not to do your own thing, but to do his thing, and not to say your own thing, but to say his thing. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, is a type and shadow of Christ, and God's raising up a Jeremiah generation now of young prophets that may be doubting themselves. Another reason I think that God cleanses the lips of the prophet to be, is because he has to wash his mouth. He has to wash the doubt away from his mouth, because there's power in words. So when he says, I cannot, I'm too young, I don't know how to speak, God grabs him by the mouth and says, you will speak. God's cleansing his doubts in his foul speech, which is confessing a reality that God doesn't want him to live in. Are you with me? It's the same with Isaiah. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and then the coal touches his lips to cleanse him. When God touches your mouth and puts the coal of heaven and the power of his fire on you, he's saying, I got to get rid of your excuses and your doubts for you to be able to be a prophet. And this is what God is going to do in the next generation. We've got to lay down our excuses and our doubts and step into being a prophetic generation that God's calling us to be, so that we can speak things that are not as if they already are. Why? Because there's power in your words. So that we can declare a thing and it will be so, because why? There's power in your words. God needs to touch your mouth to take your doubts away, so that when you open your mouth, you speak the very oracles of God. This is the call of a prophet. And I believe that in Jeremiah, being a young prophet, God's raising up young prophets. I want all my 20-somethings to stand up. If you're like 15 to maybe 30, stand up. Go ahead, right now. I want to pray over you right now. There's been several coming, and I just want to speak over you guys. And Lord, yes, there we go. Some in the back. Just stretch your hands towards them. Yeah, James stands up. He says, I'm young. Send me, Lord. Look at the adamant. Send me, Lord. Just stretch your hands towards these young people. God, raise up a prophetic generation that says what you say and does what you do. Lord, cleanse them from their doubts, their reasons, and help them, Lord, to not logic their way out of the call of God. God, I declare a prophetic generation, a Jeremiah generation over these young ones. And I know there's some up in the booth there up too serving. God, and you, Bella, too. God is, Lord, release the prophetic generation over these young people. God, that they would say what you say and do what you do, and that they would go where you call them and they would say what you command them. Lord, put your words in their mouth. Lord, fill them, cleanse them. Cleanse them from their doubts. Cleanse them from the impurity of the things that they say that are becoming a reality you don't want them to live in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless them, Lord, to be a prophetic generation. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's give them a hand. Now listen, also, you guys can sit down. Also, this is a call for all of us because it's a type and shadow to be a Josiah company, a Jeremiah prophetic company inside the reign of Josiah. Remember that Jeremiah is a priest and a prophet under a good king. This is the call of who we are, priests and prophets under a good king. Guys, it's not about coming here to receive the word of the Lord. It's about going out there to release the word of the Lord. And it's not about coming here to hear from the word of the Lord. Or to hear God's word. It's about coming here to help you get trained so that you can hear the word of the Lord anywhere you go. Anywhere you go, the word of the Lord is going to be with you, and he's going to fill your mouth so that you might be a Jeremiah prophet. That's good. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Rid us of our doubts. Rid us of our reasons. Rid us of our excuses. Make us a prophetic generation that knows how to hear from you no matter where we are. Come on, just receive that right now. Just ask the Lord. Just take a moment, maybe a minute or two. Just meditate on this, reflect on this. Go before the Lord personally. Yes, Lord, make me a prophet. Receive the call. There is power in your yes. He's not asking you, he's calling you. You have only but to step into it and receive. James. Not about what? It's good. I like that. He says it's not about being employed, but about being deployed. Yeah, God's not raising up consumers. He's raising up an army. Too many of us come to consume instead of come to be trained up, strengthened. God, raise up an army of Jeremiah prophets in this era of your Josiah company. Lord, we confess for our excuses. Lord, I repent for excuses I've made, for doubts I've had. When you give the call, I question it. And we repent for that, Lord. You're saying, go ahead, and I'm giving you my but, God. What about this? I give you my excuses, and for that, Lord, I repent. I lay my excuses down and my doubts, and I step into the call that you have for me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, and I'll just give you a benediction, blessing. Psalm 31, I like doing this one. This is a good one as we go. Lord, how wonderful you are. You have stored up so many good things for us, like a treasure chest heaped up and spilling over with blessings. for all those who honor and worship you. Everybody knows what you can do for those who turn and hide themselves in you. You have stored up so many good things for us. God has so many good things for you when you leave this place. Lord, may our ears be open to hear your truth and your word. May our mouths be open to speak it, to prophesy, to declare, and to bless people that need to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, we receive the call to be a voice, to open our mouths, and to be bold, and to not be afraid, for you are with us to rescue us. That's another call on Jeremiah. You are with us to rescue us. We receive that, Lord, and we go forth in the bold anointing and authority of Jesus.